Today on The Balanced Word, we're talking about work.
Work is something we have to do because it's a sinful world. Weeds grow, things deteriorate, things fall apart. People don't naturally, you know, treat each other with concern and love. So as a result, we need to work. And I'm thankful that we have that, because way better to work than to not work. And work, some good things come from work. But let's make sure that we aren't thinking that as a person, who I am comes from work.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
How's your work life looking these days? Maybe like a lot of Americans, you feel overworked, underappreciated, and your life is way out of balance. Work is something God calls us to, and good things come from it. But Pastor Dave Rolfe will stress today that who we are doesn't come from our work. We should strive for excellence and put in a good hard day's work with integrity, but with the mindset that we're living for something more than just a paycheck. Let's turn to the Proverbs today on The Balanced Word and see what God has to say about our work.
When you look at a person who's really good at what they do, who performs at an excellent level, there's something that you can learn from that. And really, that's a, you know, promotion comes because of doing that, really. You can learn a lot from successful people. And that's what Solomon's really saying. And beyond learning from successful people, I think he would say, why don't you be that person? You figure out how you can excel. You figure out what success would look like for you and live that example when it comes to your work life. And so that's obviously, you'd get a lot better service when you go need service from a business if more people would put this into practice. And every one of us has something to learn by people who excel in business, for sure, in their work. Now turn over to chapter 23, it's just probably on the same page, verses 4 and 5. Solomon says, do not overwork to be rich. Because of your own understanding, cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. So it's weird, because he's like been preaching about work and saying, hey, if you work, then you're going to reap rewards. If you work in an excellent way, you'll serve as an example and you'll be promoted. And then a few verses later, he goes, oh, by the way, you can overdo this. You can overwork. And it's not just about overworking, but it's specifically overworking with the motivation to be wealthy, to have more than you need. Now, there's absolutely nothing wrong with being wealthy. There's nothing wrong with being successful. Sometimes that's a blessing from God, and sometimes that's produced by working really well and working really hard. But what Solomon would tell us is richness, wealth, is not a good motivation for why you work. I mean, partly it's going to be disappointing, because some people just work really hard. They're just not good at what they do, and they continue to fail. But beyond that, riches aren't the goal of life. Making me rich is not something that I should hold out there as, hey, this is what I want to do. As we understand that, we need to realize, you know, wealth just isn't the right motivation. If it comes, it comes. Usually you will be successful when you're doing something that you're passionate about and you do it really well, and then it might pay off. But if you're doing it for that as a motivation, you know, all work, you cannot make up in volume what you lack in quality when it comes to work. All work has diminishing returns. In other words, it's not always the more you work, the more you receive, the more benefit that you have. And you know that sometimes during the day, you come in the morning and you're, you know, after a couple of cups of coffee and you're all pumped, and man, you can be really productive. The most productive you can be is when you go to work on a holiday and nobody else is there to interrupt you. I love those days. But here's the thing. Later on in the afternoon, you're not as productive. You're starting to get tired. Maybe you went out to lunch and rewarded yourself with a Mexican food lunch, and you come back and you're just like, whoa. you end up working late. And I've fallen into this a lot of times in my life where I just somehow, I'm insecure enough in the quality of my work that I think I'm going to make up for this with volume. I'm just going to work a lot more. But we've all experienced this. Very seldom is the quality of work that you do when you're, you know, after hours or on weekends or something, very seldom does that pay off. If you work 6 days a week instead of five, you are not 20% more productive, okay? And that's what Solomon's saying. There comes a point when there's a time to work, and comes a point where there's a time to stop. And if you don't understand that, you will wear yourself out and you'll be killing the goose that lays the golden egg. You will make yourself lose your ability to produce because you're just knocking yourself out. Interesting study I read years ago comparing the Reagan White House, boy, those were the good old days, to the Jimmy Carter White House. You know, one president, one that we, most of us look at and say, wow, what a great President Reagan was. On the other hand, Jimmy Carter, a guy that until recently everybody thought was the worst president we've ever had. Carter was a really good guy, and he worked long hours. But in this study, they interviewed people from both administrations, and they found that, you know, that Reagan hired professional people, and, you know, Carter hired Southerners, friends of his. He was a peanut farmer. He just knew how to work. Reagan's guys knew how good they were, how smart they were. So they would all come in, and, you know, Reagan would show up in the Oval Office at like 9:30 in the morning, look over a few newspapers, eat some jelly beans, and he'd be gone for lunch by 11 to go have lunch with somebody and come back. And he'd get off work about 4 o'clock and take his wife out to the theater or something like that. And everybody in his administration lived sort of the same way. But they found that these guys were so secure in their abilities that they knew, if I put in a good 7 hours, that's all this job really needs. The Carter administration, on the other hand, they were constantly insecure. Jimmy Carter would be up in his office at 4 a.m. reading 12 newspapers, you know, just obsessing. And he would be there at work until 11 o'clock at night, sometimes later. Just so trying hard. And you feel kind of bad for people that do that because it never really works out that well anyhow. But as they interviewed people from the Carter administration, they noticed something, that whenever they were called to question about anything that they had done, whether it was President Carter or other people in his administration, they would say, look, I'm in the office at 4 in the morning and I'm here until 10 o'clock at night. They defended their incompetency by trying to show that, look, I'm trying as hard as I can. But what Solomon would tell us is, you don't need to do that. You don't need to overdo it. You need to find some kind of balance to realize that what I do in an honest day, and I give an honest day's work for an honest day's wage, that's okay, that's enough. I don't need to just get obsessed because, again, if you're working too late, you're really not very effective at all anyway, and I think most of us know this. Let's turn over to chapter 10, back to chapter 10, in verse 16. Solomon says in Proverbs 10:16, the labor of the righteous leads to life, the wages of the wicked to sin. Basically, is saying there's two different ways to work. If you are righteous, then life, a good life, is a result of righteous living and righteous working. And at the same time, if you are wicked, if you're out of line with God's plan, all you get is more sin. Now, sin is a word that the Bible uses to describe when you settle for less than God's best for you. And so what he's saying is basically that you have a choice, and it all comes down to what kind of person do you want to be? Do you want to be someone who is doing it right and therefore experiencing everything that God has for you, a great life? Or do you want to compromise, cut corners, and end up reaping that at the end of your life you just look and go, this was a total loss. I never became who I really felt God wanted me to be. I never became who I wanted to be. It's like, and really what Solomon's saying here is, work is not about what you do. Life is about who you are. And ultimately, your identity can't be in what you do for a living, supposedly, but life is about who you become as a person. Your character, if you develop your character, work will take care of itself. But if you compromise on your character, work is going to fail you completely. And you're just going to get more and more failure in your life. And it's so sad because some people work harder at being a jerk than other people would have to work to be a decent person. But ultimately, see, when you come to the end of your life, and let's say it's your funeral and you're able to somehow float around and listen to it, what do you want people to say about you? Boy, what a good worker they were. I always think it's sad when I do a lot of funerals, unfortunately, and a lot of times you get the feeling that all they can say about this person is they had a job, you know, and people at their work, you know, it was, yeah, he was a hard worker. And that's a good thing. That can be a credit. But ultimately, don't you want people to say the kind of person that you were instead of just the kind of worker that you were? Life is not about production. Life is not about work. Work is a very important part of life, but life is ultimately about character. Integrity, we hear that word tossed around a lot, but you know, integrity means that you're a whole person, that an integer is a whole number, it's not a fraction. And a person with integrity is somebody who, I am the person that I choose to be. And I'm the same person no matter what my circumstance is. I'm not compromising my integrity, which would then divide me. And as I lack integrity, I become, we have the word disintegration. Disintegration, or just falling apart, is when people don't live with integrity. When every day you're making decisions that you believe aren't the best thing for you, but you're just pressured into it or whatever, what happens is ultimately your life becomes full of stress because you're feeling like, I really want to be this kind of a person, but I don't know what happens. I get busy, things are a mess, and I become a person that I don't even want to be. Your life disintegrates. Your life is now no longer one, is no longer whole. And so Solomon goes, look, either you are about your character, either you're about being righteous, and what you get from that is life, what life is supposed to be. But if instead you compromise your character, and especially in your work life, you not only don't get the life that you deserve, but it just goes from bad to worse. More and more sin just comes in and corrupts you and messes you up. Who you become in life is way more important than what you accomplish. And if we don't understand that, we'll always end up being frustrated and we'll go, wow, I did my work, but what do I have to show for it? If we can look in the mirror and say, I'm becoming more and more the person that I believe I want to be, that's character. And that's something that's rewarded by God with life, having you be more alive. If you work for your identity, you won't even know who you are. You'll look in the mirror and go, who is this person that I've become? In conclusion, work and the fall. Our identity is not about work. Work is something we have to do because it's a sinful world. Weeds grow, things deteriorate, things fall apart. People don't naturally, you know, treat each other with concern and love. So as a result, we need to work. And I'm thankful that we have that because it's way better to work than to not work. And work, some good things come from work. But let's make sure that we aren't thinking that as a person, who I am comes from work. It doesn't at all. Work is a necessary evil that God has given us then the privilege of compensating for the fact that this world is all messed up and constantly deteriorating and falling apart. If in a perfect world, none of your jobs, including mine, would even be necessary. And so you understand that in order to have that perspective. But I think, too, it's important to realize work is important. Work is valuable. Work ultimately brings about the kind of results that you want in life. If you don't work, you'll end up not producing that which can help you to survive. But we need to keep it in balance. We need to remember that I am not what I produce, that I am not defined by what I do for a living, supposedly. Well, how sad that you do for a living. This is what your life is about. Your life is not about what you do. That's what you do to work through the weeds, to get through the brokenness, the hurt and everything that's in this fallen world. But you're more than that. And so learn to have a balance. Do not just knock yourself out overworking. I mean, it's sad, and I've had this in my own life where it's like, I'm working so hard. One of my old secretaries here, and she, years ago, when she would sit there and she'd start singing that, there's an old song that says, I worked so hard for Jesus, and it was like, yeah, that we can get into that mentality, but if we are working too hard, we're not working for Jesus. That isn't what he has called us to do. He's called us to have a decent balance. At the same time, what you are called to do, look for excellence. Try to do what you do in a way that you've worked through it so much that it starts to look smooth, that it begins to, that people can look at it and go, wow, you're really good at what you do. Excellence should be our goal. Again, within limits and within boundaries, but it's better to do less and to do it really well than to make up in volume what you lack in the ultimate quality of what you're doing. But more than anything, work on your character. Yes, you need to work or you won't eat. That's true. But it's way more important who you are as a person than what you produce as a worker. And that's something that we need to keep at the forefront. That overall, don't let your life be defined by, well, I did this for 47 years and now I'm kind of done. You're not done unless you're perfect. And if you're perfect, you're deluded. You need to get to work on your psychology. But work on your character. What are you doing currently in your life to try to become a person with more integrity? What are you doing to hold yourself accountable to say, I really want to speak the truth? I really want to represent myself accurately. I don't want to live my life being afraid of what people are going to think of me, and so therefore I'm acting like something totally different than who I am. Value character. Work for that. Because somebody who works hard and does it well with character, those kind of people are rare. By the way, those kind of people can always find a job too. Because that's a powerful combination that you got there. Now, what we all need to do, because as he says in several of these verses, it comes down to understanding. The difference between people who get this and do good work and people who don't is really just about understanding. So it's so important for us to be close to God in fellowship with him, asking him, show me what I should be doing, how I should be doing it. You understand what I want to do. Now, is there a way that you can actually help me to become more effective in what I do, that I find the job that really is best for me, that I can really do in an excellent way, while at the same time I'm developing my character? God knows what that is. God understands you better than you understand yourself. And I think it's important for all of us to present our lives before him and say, God, what do I do now? How do I do this? And in what ways could I be working more effectively? In what ways can I stop knocking myself out and draining myself of all my energy and instead find the way to work an honest day with integrity, developing my character, and finding out that I'm living for something more than just a paycheck? You need to listen to God. Now, there might be some of you who have never really even given your life to Jesus Christ, which means it really is just saying, okay, the Bible says that Jesus died for my sins. and that if I ask him, he will forgive me. He died, he rose from the dead, and he invites every one of us to be connected to him, to be forgiven, to have a fresh start every day. Now, most of us have done that, but if you're here and you haven't done that before, you've never really gotten to the point where you just go, I feel clean. I feel like today I get to start over. If you've never experienced that forgiveness, today would be an awesome day to do just that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for what you've done for us. We can't even begin to understand, and we really, the way we look at things, we would look and just go, what in the world did you have to gain by dying for us? And I'm sure that in your mind, because of your overpowering love, you feel like that was worth it, and your word tells us that it was. But for us, we're just kind of overwhelmed. We're used to people in life treating us well because they want something from us. And we don't handle free gifts with no strings attached very well. But as we receive communion, help us to be totally aware that this is about you giving everything so that you could be connected to us. You already know us, but you want us to know you. And so, Lord, we just thank you for who you are, for how you love. And I thank you that your work was always about drawing us to be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Maybe you've noticed many Christians are fighting with each other nowadays, even over some of the most trivial matters. Next time on The Balanced Word, we'll see what God thinks of all that. Here's a preview.
How much of our time do we spend fighting and arguing with each other? And that is absolutely wasted time. The time that we spend fighting is time that we are absolutely chewing up and wasting. Now, as we look at what he says, it reminds us of other related topics that we've discussed earlier in the book of Proverbs. For instance, you can't read about fighting without thinking about what Solomon says about pride and humility. The pride that causes you to always think you're right, the pride and arrogance that causes you to, you know, believe somehow that you have a right to make someone else think what you do, that there's something wrong with them if they don't think like you, that in some way you need to control another person. Well, Solomon, we've already seen, has a lot to say about that kind of thing. You also understand that anger is a central part of it. And we had one Sunday where we looked at all that Solomon said about anger and how, you know, our emotions begin to control us when we allow ourselves to get out of control. And Solomon talks about the fact that if you're an angry person, you're always mad at people, you will end up being isolated. You'll end up being alone. That comes into play too. If you argue too much and you do it so passionately, Even if you win the argument, you end up being by yourself. There's also in Proverbs a lot that Solomon has to say about appreciating people's differences, realizing we all aren't the same. And of course, the whole personal security versus insecurity, it's when you are insecure in what you believe that you feel like you have to convince everyone else to agree with you.
Join us next time for The Balanced Word as Dave Rolfe speaks about fighting and arguing and a much better approach to our differences and disagreements. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And the instrument I play. Wake up my